710 ESPN Seattle. It is Brock and Salk. Our day with the coordinators. Just had a nice time with Ken Norton Jr. Now Brian Schottenheimer, Seahawks offensive coordinator, stepping in. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
This is good. What was your year like? What was it like working with Russell Wilson this year?
It was great. I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, I had followed Russ from afar and just, you know, being a guy that loved quarterback play and knew he was a terrific player. But I think he's got the reputation, at least when I looked at him, as, hey, here's a guy that's going to go out, he's going to improvise, he's going to make plays and just run around and do that. I was blown away by his ability to throw the ball, deep with accuracy, and then just the work ethic, the preparation, unlike anything I've ever been around. And I've been blessed. I've been around some great ones. Just his professionalism throughout the course of the week, his discipline throughout the week of how he prepared, and not only just himself, but how he prepared the unit was top-notch.
You would have loved the segment earlier this morning we did of what did Shoddy do best, knowing that you were going to come in here in Norton, where's the area to work? I pointed to the explosive plays. He points to the run game. We got a great text from somebody, though, that said, well, what I think he did best was continuing to grow Russell, even in year seven, stepping up into the pocket, some of the fundamentals that were better. Did you feel and see growth in his game in those ways this season?
Yeah, without a doubt. I know when Russ and I first, kind of got hooked up, it was, okay, hey, you know, he was excited that, hey, look, here's a guy that's, you know, been around a lot of great quarterbacks. Obviously, background kind of started with Drew, and he's got he's a big fan of Drew's. And we started laying out the plan. And a lot of great players, which Russ is a great player, they're a little bit standoffish to change. He's completely different. He was like, hey, teach me everything you know. And so we started with, you know, the footwork and the fundamentals and stuff and how to climb the pocket and how to keep his base wide. And, again, not everything he loved. He wasn't comfortable with everything. But there were certainly things he was like, yeah, I love that. I think that makes me feel more in balance. And you don't find that with most great players that have had the success, you know, with the 34 touchdown passes last year, all the different things that he's done in his career. But he was so open to change.
Do you remember the very first time this whole offseason or whenever that you gave him the most constructive of feedback in OTAs or what have you? And I don't think you're one through your years in it, and obviously your dad too. Like, you've got to confront. You've got to be able to, you know, I think be open, not necessarily in criticism, but that's not right. You know, we played a clip, I think, in one of the OTAs or preseason game where you're like, yeah, he missed a touchdown. Like, that was a touchdown. He got a hit. And like, whoa. We hadn't really heard that over the first 6 years or so. Do you kind of remember the first time of, I guess, building some of that trust to be able to do that? Or one of the earlier occasions where you kind of just build that relationship like, yeah, we're going to do it this way?
That's the magic word, relationship. I think, you know, that's what you have to build. And what a player wants to know is, number one, can this guy help me? Can this coach help me? If he can help me, then okay, I'm all in. I'm listening. And then, you know, just working so closely together, he and I spending so many hours together, just on the field and doing different things. And I told him from day one, you know, got high standards, high expectations. You're a great player. There's steps that you can make. There's things that you can do better. And again, he's the ultimate competitor. And he was like, bring it on. And so I never thought once, I can't remember a specific time, but I never thought once of, oh, I got to be careful. No, it was, hey, man, what's up with that? And he was great with it. And I love that about him.
We've heard you talk a little bit about what happened after week two, falling in love a little bit with Russell Wilson in those first few weeks. And I think we can all understand how that would have happened. What was it like after that when you said, okay, this is what we're going to be. We're going to be a run team, or at least a balanced team with a whole lot of run at the beginning. How was that?
I tell you what, it was a very seamless transition. So, again, I've told the story, you know, a couple times. You know, we land, we get off the plane from Chicago, and we just knew we were struggling. We weren't doing things to the ability that we should do it. And Pete and I sat down, we went home, we got, you know, a few hours of sleep, which you do after a late game, and came back. And he and I sat down, and it was just a great meeting. I mean, Pete's unbelievable.
You sit in his office for that?
Yeah. No, we were in the staff room, and he and I were just talking about different things and what was ever on our chest. And we knew that there was things that needed to change, and there was things that he wanted to say to me and things I wanted to say to him. You know, I didn't know Pete that well. I mean, of course, I've competed with Pete, and you go through the preseason and or the off season and all that stuff, and it's pretty easy. But until the bullets start flying for real, you really don't get a sense of a person. And he was awesome. And so we just kind of came out of there saying, hey, look, we know who we are. We know who we want to be. We want to change the narrative. We want to change the mentality of this football team. Let's go do it. And, again, that decision was easy. the thing I give the most credit to was the players. The players never checked up. I mean, we kind of went in, we said, hey, here's where we're going, here's what we're going to do, here's why, and they were great. They never checked up. They bought in, and away we went.
So what does that mean for you after that? Is it two or three calls a game? Is it the first play of the game to set a message? Like, when do you take that philosophy and actually implement it in the play calling?
Well, again, I think it's the mentality that we believe in is being physical. That doesn't mean you have to run the ball every time. It doesn't mean that. It means we're going to be physical. It means it's the way we run block. It's the way we run routes. It's Russell standing in the pocket. It's the way we pass protect. And for the play caller, it's just, you know, you have an identity of what you want to do. We obviously want to be a balanced team, but we know we need to establish the run. We play a certain way. That's the way that we played this year and had some great success with it. So it really was quite easy for me to do that because I knew it was, okay, it's what's going to give us the best chance to win this year. Now, moving forward, who knows? I mean, I'm so excited for the offseason, all the things that we're going to look at. Go back and get a year of looking at cut-ups. I mean, this year was crazy because I came in and we came in as a staff and, okay, let's go back over the 7 or 8 years that they've been here and what fits, what have they been doing. Okay, these are things that I believe in. These are some things that Coach Solari believes in. Hey, how are we going to blend these things together? And I think that's what we're so excited about looking forward. We did so many great things. It didn't finish up the way we wanted to finish, but wow, give us, you know, this next offseason to kind of build and grow, and really excited about where we can go.
Brian Schottenheimer with us, coordinator here with the Seahawks. We were talking just before you jumped on, and just the finality of it. Like, when you lose, man, it's so sudden, and it creates a real reaction, as you can imagine, from fans that have just felt this winning, all this goodwill, this connection, all this amazing stuff that happened this season in a year that was supposed to be a bit of a turn. So it happens, you end up falling short, and a number of the responses that we felt was, man, they didn't use Russell enough. You get into that Dallas game, and, you know, as we talked about, how you navigate all of this and using him and implementing him, you know, that was some of the noise and some of the frustration of, man, Russell, why wasn't Russell used more in that game?
Well, I think, obviously, you look at that game, and look, we're no different, right? I wake up on Sunday morning, you start thinking through the game, then you come in, you watch the game. You've already watched the game the previous night on the film, and you always go back and you look at the call sheet. The biggest issue that we had, and it was kind of the issue for us throughout the course of the year when we struggled, was third down. We weren't able to convert on third downs. We weren't able to get momentum going. We're kind of an offense because we run the ball and we throw the deep play passes that when you're struggling on third down, it kind of hurts your ability to get started. So there were certainly things that we wanted to do. There were certainly things that we had on the call sheet where I'm like, golly, I can't believe I didn't get that called. But it was our inability of converting the third downs. We put ourselves, I think there was 13 third downs. I think four of them were 10 or more. Seven of them were seven or more. I mean, we got behind the sticks. And so I think we got to be better. We got to be able to, myself, okay, these are you know, you get back on track calls. Hey, these are calls that can get us back on track, get us into third and threes and fours instead of, you know, third and nines and tens. But there were that, and that was a theme that when we were playing really well this year, we were doing great on third down. And that allowed us to sustain drives. And again, you give us extra plays, a Chris Carson's going to break out, a Tyler Lockett's going to get free deep, and that's ultimately what I when I look back on the game, that was the biggest issue.
What is the key to those third and intermediates, the third and five to third and eights, that range? What is the key to converting those? Is it creativity? Is it route combinations? I know nothing.
Sure.
So what is the key to that?
I think each team's a little different. Dallas played a bunch of man-to-man, and they did a good job. They did a very nice job. When teams play you man-to-man, Brock can tell you there's different things you can do. You can run away from people. You can build bunches and stacks to try to get guys rubbed. And, again, it was just one of those things where we were just off a little bit. We took some shots down the field. You know, we missed Doug Baldwin on one late. We took another shot to Tyler. That's part of the deal. If people are going to come up and press us, we learned that on fourth and three against Carolina. You're going to come up and press us. Guess what? Doesn't matter the situation. We're going to go up top. And but again, each week's a little different. They challenge us. They played a lot of man-to-man, and again, we had the bunch stuff. But again, we didn't get them all dialed up like we needed to. That starts with me. And then again, we didn't execute perfectly.
Brian, is there enough mounting evidence out there to say that it's easier to throw the ball in the NFL in a short yardage passing game than it is this philosophy of run, play, pass, and you better hit your third downs? You know, when you debate or you talk to people in the football circles in the world, and you see where this NFL is going, and a bunch of these hires too, a bunch of pass first, we're going to throw it first guys. How do you navigate that?
Well, again, I think, you know, you look at our success against, you know, arguably the two best offenses in the NFL, the Rams and the Chiefs. We beat the Chiefs in a shootout, right? So we're able to go down. We scored 35, 38 points, whatever it was. Beat them in a shootout. We played great here against the Rams in the first game. We came up just short, you know. But it was a fun game to watch. So the way that we play, it doesn't prevent us from scoring. There are certainly things that we need to get better. There are certainly things that, as I learn these players and we learn the staff, and again, we get into another offseason, there's certainly things that we can get better. But I believe that the identity that we play at, or the way that we played this year, was really cool because it was different. And it didn't really slow us down. We didn't get to where we want to go. But there's still so much room for improvement. Again, you watch Russell grow. You watch Chris Carson's development. You watch Tyler Lockett. What an unbelievable year he had. So that's the thing that as a coach you get excited about. And so we're very comfortable with the way we play football, not that we don't want to add things.
So maybe I'm reading into this a little bit. Brian Schottenheimer with us. The way you just looked at me and said the way we played this year doesn't mean it has to necessarily be the exact blueprint for next year.
Yeah, I think we're always looking to grow. We're always looking for – hey, look, we're always going to be physical. There's no question about that. We're always going to run the football. We were the best in the league at doing it this year. We're always going to do that. We're going to always emphasize taking care of the football. We were the best in the league at that this year, almost historical. We're always going to find ways for explosives, but we're always looking to grow. I know more about Russell today. He knows more about me. I know more about Pete. I know more about some of our skill players. So we're going to go into this offseason excited, thrilled about the things that we did. Hey, what can we add? Hey, you know what? We really thought we were good at this, but in reality, we really, really weren't good at that. So let's just take that out, and let's add this in. And you got to evolve in this game, and that's what we're excited about. But, again, to say that we're disappointed with the way it worked out at the end, for sure. Are we satisfied? No. But you tell me after year one in our development, the process we're going through, we're really, really excited about where we're going and where the future holds.
I'm sorry I'm hogging this. I should let
it's
you
just go. Two old quarterbacks talking.
I'm enjoying this. It's just two old quarterbacks.
Well, I like what you said earlier because I think this is a cool exercise that a lot of people don't know. You said you come
You're
back.
You're just not letting me talk after Norton threatened me a few minutes
ago. That's
true.
He scares me too. He scares me too.
You said you watched the tape on the plane right home. And then you come home and you pull out that call sheet and you watch it. I think people will be fascinated by like what that looks like. You literally have the call sheet out, right, and you're calling it. And as you do that, play by play, how many plays did you have in that game?
52.
52 plays. As you did all 52 of those, how much like time does each play take as you look at it? And what goes through your process as you do that?
I think, you know, you kind of go left to right on the screen. So, like, if you're watching the wide copy, there's two different copies. There's the sideline copy where you see everybody from, like, up in the rafters, and so you just kind of go left to right. So you'll start with maybe the left receiver. You work your way to Dwayne Brown to Sweezy and those guys. You come across, and then you ultimately end up finishing with Russ. Then you go to the end zone, and it's amazing. Like when I'm watching film at home, my wife goes crazy. She's like, "Can you just let it play?" Because she just wants to watch the ball. I'm like, "Honey, no. I got to rewind it. I got to look at some different things. You know, I got to watch his step and this and that." It's actually it's crazy how much time we spend watching the game. But it's also cool because you do figure out so many different things. And like a good example is, just the technique of Dwayne Brown. Here's a guy, again, 13, 14 years in. How much better his technique got this year under the direction of Mike Solari is so impressive. I mean, here's a left tackle playing against the best pass rushers each week. We rarely ever gave him help. He didn't really want help. You know, hey, stay away from me. I'm good. But just to watch these guys grow, that's the thing that you look at and you can go back of and say, man, look from game one to game 16 or 17 where he got to. And it's very time consuming, but it's amazing how much you gather from it.
What's your relationship with analytics?
We use it. It's part of the deal. It's not the end all be all with us, but certainly we always look for different ways to evaluate things. And analytics is another tool that we'll use, and we get great reports and stats and things like that. But again, to say that that's all we use, but it is important.
What are a few of the areas you go to? Because I in broadcast get the same thing, right? And you can be inundated, paralyzed.
Well, and analytics is more than just those numbers. It could be some of the new stuff.
stuff they're learning about separation between a receiver and a cornerback,
yes,
or the top speed that somebody can reach. I'm just kind of curious how much of that you guys get and look at.
We get a bunch of it, and we have a whole department that kind of, you know, they take it and they kind of turn it into normal talk. Like, if I'm talking coach speak to you, I could probably blow your mind, and you'll be like, whoa, what did he just say?
Yeah, Brock does that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. You know, but it's the same thing. They take the critical factors and they give those to us so we can kind of use those as a tool. It could be as simple as monitoring a player during practice to make sure he's not overburdened with his legs and how much running he's doing. And like you mentioned, separation speed. Hey, this guy can get out of a break. Doug Baldwin can get out of a break so fast.
So does that help you design a specific play for them?
You know, it helps us understand the player better. Mm-hmm. It helps us understand their strengths and maybe their weaknesses or areas that we need to improve as a player. Okay, let's come up with a plan to change player so-and-so's ability to get out of a break. So there's cone drills, there's change of direction drills, things like that help you do that.
As you go to the grocery store and people bump into you and recognize you in the line, what's the most common question they ask you? Or at the gas station, they're just like, oh, is there a football theme? Is there a question over the course of this year that you found common?
Well, if I'm being totally honest, I don't get out much. It's been a long 12 months from when I took the job in January. This is a true story. I asked my wife the other day, I was trying to get gas. True story. And, you know, you put your card in there to pay for gas and they want your zip code.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, hell, I don't know what my zip code is. So I text her and she said basically, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I was like, well, I know how to get home, but I don't really know our zip code, and I can't get gas.
Did you know your address?
It's still a little sketchy. So I don't get out that much. But, you know, whenever I've been out and about, just in years past doing this, you know, people are always they're always great. You know, hey, look, this is a very competitive profession we're in. They get it. You know, they've always got some feedback and stuff. But, again, I haven't experienced that much here in Seattle. But again, I'm a people person. I love people. I love being around people. And as long as I can keep my gas tank filled, I'll be in good shape.
Perfect. Well, we'll give you access to our text machine, and you can read what everybody texts in on Monday morning about the game you've called the day before.
That would be great.
And like all offensive coordinators, I think the number one complaint you will get, any offensive coordinator, this is not a criticism of you, from fans, is predictability. How do you avoid predictability as an offensive coordinator?
Well, we put a lot of time and effort into self-scout. I mean, we look at ourselves. We look at, okay, that doesn't mean run pass, right? I mean, again, we've got a way we play. We're a physical football team. We're a run-first team that's going to feed into our play passes. But, you know, you don't see always with us the same formations. For example, George Fant, right? Game 3, 4, whatever it was, we just decided, look, you know, we need to get better running the football. We got this unbelievable player and person that wants to do this, and so we kind of threw that in there. So I think it was week 2 or 3, you know, that of George playing, we're playing Detroit, and we got him out there wide, and he's out there having fun, and then you throw a route to him. So we build on things. Again, the run pass stuff, we know how we want to play. We need to keep people off balance. I think you know, you saw us try to adjust a little bit in that fourth series. We started slow against Dallas. We tried to adjust. You know, we came off with the play passes. So it's not just something throughout the course of the week, but you are monitoring it during the game. And if people could have any idea to listen to what truly goes on a headset, I really think the NFL should look at that selling that or giving the rights to people to be able to hear. It's amazing.
Why?
Some of the stuff. There's just so much communication. There's so much commotion. There's so much emotion. You know, no, don't do that, Russ. Oh, my God, what a great play. I mean, it just people have no idea. And so the product that's put onto the field is crazy because, you know, we're all competitive people. And people would be blown away by the stuff that happens on the headsets.
Is it hard to get the next play in after a long completion?
Because it depends. It can be.
This is a pet peeve. Brock will tell you, and Pete,
he's got two
Pete
pet
about
peeves.
This,
let's
like
get right to it. Two pet peeves: burning timeouts when he can't get a play
in the second half,
and empty and third short.
Yes,
no threat of a run.
Those
game.
Are my two pet peeves. Let's talk about.
Well,
let's get into this.
Let's do that because the timeouts. Hey, the timeouts, Salk. You're right. We got to be better with that.
Wouldn't you rather take a 5-yard penalty than blow the timeout in a close game where you might be
it
down?
It depends on the situation. Here's a great example. We're playing Arizona. And we were backed up on our 2-yard line, I think. And I sent a play in, and I didn't feel good about it. And the ball's on the 2-yard line. and it was a close game, right, back and forth with the Cardinals. This is the one at home. And I looked at Pete. I said, Pete, I need a timeout. And he never checked up. So, again, you don't want to burn timeouts, but that was a pretty important part of the game.
What is checked up?
Say again?
Can you translate checked up? You never checked up? You said
that. Oh, yeah. Well, no. He was like, sure. You know, okay. A lot of coaches are like, no. He was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's call timeout. He knew that it was an important part mm-hmm. of the game. So we kind of regrouped. We called a play. We converted a third down through a penalty. And then the very next play, so two plays later, Chris Carson goes breaking out for 60-something yards. You don't want to do it. I need to be better with that. There's things we need to be better with that. You and I can meet this offseason.
I'd be happy to help.
And talk about a few things of how we should do that. But that's certainly something we can get better at. What was the other thing?
The other one is empty on third and short. You were such a good third down run team in some of those situations. You get in the third and two, first third and two of the game. Talk to me about the first third and two in Dallas, because and I think that it's fair.
You run for four, there's no
threat of a run. Russell didn't necessarily do QB draw, so there's no threat of a run. Sure. And even though it's man-to-man, you may get your matchup, a run physical team with no threat of run in the biggest first third down of the game.
Yeah, and again, that was one of those calls that when I looked back, I was like, you know what, there was better calls. There were. I mean, there were better calls I could have had. We tried to get J.D. McKissick in the game. We thought that would be a good matchup for us. You saw we split him out wide. We were hoping that they would give us some free access. We built the formation the right way. We had Tyler working inside in the slot. We had Doug on the other side, which, you know, he was looking for his deal. They came up and they actually went dime, which meant they put in an extra defensive back to play JD, and they ended up covering us. So, again, I have no problem being accountable to those things. There were better calls in that situation. What we know about empty does clean the picture for the quarterback a little bit. Empty does create huge running lanes for our quarterback. So if they do cover people, our quarterback has been known to get out for explosive plays. And so, again, albeit that probably wasn't the best call for that play, there are benefits to empty.
Of those 52 plays, and we could do this through all 52 of them, it would take us 3 hours. I think people would kind of enjoy it. They may pay for that too. But of the 52 that you went back and you looked at, how many of them or how much time will you spend on them now moving forward? Or is it just like, hey, you know, there's a half dozen they beat us. There's a half dozen I could have made a better call. Could you characterize those 52 calls in any way?
Yeah, you know, it's almost the same every week. I mean, it's shocking. You know, whether you win or you lose, it's honestly the same almost every week. There's 8 to 10 plays where you're like, yeah, they just kicked our butts right there. He had the better call, or they played it better than we did. Then there's 8 to 10 plays you're like, you know, that was a really good call. You know, yeah, I'm gonna pat myself on. Yeah, I really had them.
Kind of like the jet sweep option.
Yeah,
I kind of like that one.
You're like, yeah, I really had them. But then the rest of them, it's the chess match. You know, and you're just like, boy, you know, I can't tell you in my 11 years calling plays how many times I've called the absolute worst play ever for the defense. Like, literally watching the play get ready to unfold, and I'm like, this is going to be a train wreck. And it goes for 20 yards. And I'm like, looking back, like, how did that just happen? And then there's other times where you're like, this is going to be the greatest play ever. I've got this coordinator. He has no idea what's going on, and you get stuffed. It's just the nature of the NFL. You know, but certainly each week you look at the call sheet, you're like, gosh, I should have done this, I should have done that. You know, we're no different than the fans. We kind of sit in those meeting rooms till, you know, morning till dark, and we're a little bit more aware of what we're trying to do. So it's probably a little bit less frustrating, but albeit it's still frustrating.
What was your favorite call this year? A play that you ran a lot. When we've had Matt Hasselbeck on, what's the call he says that the 05 team used to run all the time?
Green right 93 blast.
There you go. E Green right 93.
He's showing off, by the way.
He always
does. He's showing
it's
off.
Annoying. But is there one call where when you guys were really in rhythm, you were just running this play and nobody could stop it?
You know, I think just because it was big plays in a number of games, I think of the Green Bay game. Chris Carson one-on-one with the linebacker at the 2-yard line. It's our 95-94 front play. Again, against the Chiefs. Now he's not just matched up against one guy. Now he's matched up against two guys. Same result. The fourth down play against San Francisco. Those were all very similar calls. Maybe not the identical call, but in the same type of family. And to see our guys and to remember our guys and – you have these things that are called your kind of gotta habits. And your gotta habits are, okay, this situation, game's on the line, what do you believe in? What do you, And it's not just me. What do the players believe in? And so that was one that, again, sticks out just because not the success. They weren't all successful, but our guys believed in it. They executed it. And when you go back and you look at that tape, that's going to be a good cut up to watch.
98052? Was it 98052? 98053?
Is that my zip code? Yeah, I still don't even know. But, and if you guys got gas money, I think I'm running a little bit low. I might give me a little cash on the way out.
I got to tell you, it was fun watching this offense play this year. It really was. Pet peeves aside, it was fun watching them go out there and really knock heads with the other team every week. So thank you. It was Brock and I really enjoyed it. We were calling for the return to the old identity, yep. And I feel like we really saw it this year. So thank you for all you did. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and again, looking forward to great things in the future.
We're looking forward to it. Have a good offseason. We'll talk to you again. There's Brian Schottenheimer.